Our second Bible reading this morning comes from the New Testament, from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, just a few verses at the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 26. And this is Paul writing to the church at Galatia. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Just before we come to the sermon, let us pray together. O God, our Father, I pray that in the written word and through my spoken word, that we may behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as we have our sermon, you may like to keep your Bible open at Genesis chapter 17, because I'll be referring to it throughout the sermon. I wonder, are you watching at the moment the new series of the television programme, Who Do You Think You Are? Isn't there something fascinating in knowing more about the people from whom you're descended? And there's the hope, you know, with all of us that maybe in the past family, there's someone who has done something good or noble. Maybe someone like Nigella Lawson's grandfather. And Nigella discovered that her grandfather had been attached to one of the regiments who liberated Belsen concentration camp during the Second World War. Naturally, we might worry that there's a dreadful secret somewhere in the family's past. Maybe a secret like the one that Esther Ranson discovered whenever she found out that her great-grandfather had accidentally shot and killed the family's parlour maid. Or perhaps you're a bit nervous or apprehensive about uncovering a long-forgotten family tragedy. Maybe one like Bill Oddie discovered when he was told that his great-grandfather, who was a night watchman, had met a very nasty end when the poor man tripped and fell into a vat of boiling brine. I've always been fascinated about my own family's history, and we have mystery on both sides of the family that I would love to delve into. And if only I had access to the resources that they seem to have on Who Do You Think You Are? The researchers there always seem to find the records or the newspaper clippings that provide the answers and bring those deceased relatives back to life at just the right time. But in the television programme, of course, all the focus is on the past and on the ancestors and family who came before. But in Genesis 17, which we just read, God's focus is on the future of Abraham and of his descendants. But before we move on to look in a bit more detail at Genesis 17, let's recap on what's been happening in Abram's life so far. Abraham is 75 years old when God calls him, and he and his wife Sarah are childless, and yet God promises to make Abraham into a great nation. And we read about that in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is 86 years old when his son Ishmael is born after his liaison with Sarah's servant Hagar. Abraham and Sarah remain childless, and you can read about this in Genesis 16. Abraham is 99 years old when God makes the covenant of circumcision with him and reconfirms that Abraham will be the father of many nations. Abraham and Sarah are still childless. And that is what we read this morning. So at the point that we join him this morning, Abraham has been following God and trusting God's promise for almost 25 years, even though there is no outward sign of God fulfilling his covenant and promise. Earlier in Genesis, as I said, in chapter 15, we can read the account of the covenant that God makes with Abraham. And in our passage this morning in chapter 17, we're reading about God confirming the covenant and giving many more details about it. So, what is a covenant? Well, in its simplest form, a covenant is an agreement that formally binds together two parties into a relationship. Firstly, it's on the basis of mutual personal commitment. That is, each party must make a personal commitment to be bound by the agreement. And secondly, there are consequences for keeping or breaking the covenant. In Abraham's case, there will be blessing for keeping the agreement and punishment for breaking it. In our text in Genesis this morning, we see God making this type of covenant with Abraham and his descendants who will come after him. Now, although the covenant is made directly with Abraham, God emphasizes that Abraham's descendants are also included in the agreement. Isn't that amazing? God is making a covenant with people who are not even born. In the first 8 verses of chapter 17, God confirms the details of his covenant with Abraham. God introduces himself as El Shaddai, which means God Almighty, the powerful one, and God's power is going to be needed if Sarai's childlessness is going to be reversed. But before he confirms the covenant, God tells Abraham, "Walk before me and be blameless." This is the personal commitment that's required from Abraham in order to keep the covenant. God goes on to confirm his covenant with Abraham by giving exact details of what God will do to keep God's side of the agreement. God says, "You will be the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will establish an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants." These are all promises for the future, and there's no evidence yet of these being fulfilled. Could I have the previous slide? Thank you. Yes, these are all promises for the future, and there's no evidence yet of these being fulfilled. And they fly in the face of the reality of Abraham's situation. He is 99 years old. His wife Sarah is 90. And they are childless. So how on earth is this covenant going to be fulfilled? In verse 7, God promises that the covenant will be ongoing. It will extend from one generation to another. It will be rolled out into the future. This will be an everlasting covenant. It will never end. It will continue forever. And so here we find Abraham starring in his own episode of Who Do You Think You Are? Except in Abraham's case, he's not looking forward, he's looking back. Except in Abraham's case, he is not looking back at his ancestors. Instead, Abraham is looking forward to his descendants. There's no genealogist here researching old records to discover who Abraham came from, or unearthing old skeletons from cupboards. God's focus is firmly on the future, his promise to make Abraham a father of many nations and to give Abraham and his descendants a new land and a new identity. In verses 9 to 14 of our text, we get details of the part that Abraham and his descendants must play to remain faithful to God's promises and to receive his blessing. The obedience of Abraham and his descendants is essential if they are going to receive the benefits of the covenant. God decrees that the mark, or the sign, if you like, of this covenant will be the circumcision of every male who is 8 days old and over. Now, circumcision is not a Hebrew invention. It was practiced in Egypt since ancient times as a mark of ritual purity. and also in the nations around where Abraham was living at that time, circumcision marked the transition into adult status within the tribe. But for Abraham and his descendants, circumcision was an outward sign of a relationship, the most important relationship that they would ever have. God is to be their God and they are to be his people. Isn't that wonderful? Circumcision was a mark of God's ownership and a constant reminder to his people of the covenant between God and Abraham's descendants. And so we see Abraham's "who do you think you are" experience is continuing as he hears what God is telling him about his future. This is God himself who is telling Abraham who God is and how Abraham's future will unfold. And even though all the circumstances say differently, God stresses again that Abraham and Sarah will become parents. Abraham's family tree is being written by God himself. However, El Shaddai's mighty power will be needed to make this very elderly couple into new parents. In verses 15 to 22 of our reading, God tells Abraham that the covenant will be inherited by the son that Abraham and Sarah will have, the son not yet born, the son probably not even conceived at this point. This son will be born within the following year, and he is to be named Isaac. And this child will be the long-awaited offspring of Abraham and Sarah. And his birth will be the next stage in the unfolding of God's plan. Now, we know that this actually happened and that God kept his promise to Abraham because we can find the account in the Old Testament. Just as in "Who Do You Think You Are?", the history is recorded. If we know where to look for it, and to do a little research, we are able to look back, but Abraham had to look forward, and he had to trust that God would faithfully fulfill God's promise. So you might be asking this morning, what has this ancient covenant got to do with us here in Money Dig? Why is any of this important to us today? Well, we already heard in the children's address that the unique line of Abraham's descendants begins with Isaac, but did you realize it eventually leads to Jesus? Yes, Jesus is a direct descendant of Abraham, and Jesus is the one through whom God's blessing is now made available in a redeeming way to mankind. God's blessing now comes through trust in Christ Jesus, and it's open to all mankind, and that includes you, and that includes me. Let's recall Genesis 17, verse 7, when God says to Abraham, "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." And this promise that was made to Abraham all those generations ago is still being fulfilled today. Isn't this amazing? But you might ask me, how is it being fulfilled today? Well, at the Last Supper, Matthew's Gospel records that Jesus offered the cup of wine to his disciples and says, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Here, Jesus is proclaiming that the imminent shedding of his blood will absorb completely God's wrath over the sin of mankind once and forever. Jesus' sacrificial death and his resurrection will freely offer God's redemption to anyone who puts their trust in Christ. This is the new covenant. Not that it cancels or makes void the original covenant, but rather this is a better, a more complete covenant. And the mark or the sign of this new covenant is also circumcision. However, now is the circumcision of the heart, a circumcision of our core being. And this mark of circumcision is borne by both men and women under the new covenant. For every believer, this is the sign of our relationship, the most important relationship that any of us will ever have. God is to be our God, and we are to be his people. And this is the continuing fulfillment of God's promise that was made to Abraham many generations before. So just as in the original covenant between God and Abraham, there are consequences for keeping or breaking this new covenant as well. For anyone who puts their trust in Jesus and follows him, they will find God's blessing. However, for anyone who rejects Jesus and turns their back on him, there will be eternal separation from God. In the book of Galatians, we read that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church there saying, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So, anyone who belongs to Christ, who puts their trust in him and follows him, is part of Abraham's family. So, if you belong to Jesus today, then Abraham is the forefather of your faith, and you can trace your spiritual heritage right back to him. Imagine, if you and I belong to Christ, then we are part of the continuing fulfillment of God's ancient covenant with Abraham. Isn't this amazing? So if you were to take part in a faith edition of Who Do You Think You Are, what would your faith family tree look like? Would it show Christ at the head, leading back to Abraham? Or would it be a blank page, leading nowhere, because you have opted out of the spiritual heritage that God offers to you? So this morning in Money Dig, do you belong to Christ? Are you an heir of God's promise? Are you a descendant of Abraham? Who do you think you are? Let's pray together. Our faithful Father, ever loving, ever giving, who never breaks his promises, Father, may each of us this morning know that we are safe in the palm of your hand. May each of us know that we are covered by your faithful love and your faithful covenant. And may we rest and trust in you eternally. And we ask it through our Saviour, Jesus. Amen.